I've been sitting here thinking about all the things you do for me, how you make me feel. But wondering if it's the same for you, but when you're not around, I lose my mind, cause you keep it like a secret. Why won't you reveal it?
Salutations, everybody. Welcome to the In God You Trust radio show. I'm your special guest, Trustee Kevin, and it is 3:23 here in Washington State. We are now moving into the darker time of the year. It's winter is coming upon us, but let's all give ourselves some gratitude for being alive during these times. And the things that we have to be so grateful for is what we should focus in on. I would like to take this time to pay special thanks to Don, who's helped put this entire radio show together. And we're adding a new station, FM 102.7, for the folks out there in New York City. My hats are off to you. Hello, greetings. And I used to live back in New York in the 1990s, 1993, 94. It was the halcyon times. I enjoyed the heck out of that city. But so we're going to have a shorter discussion than normal. We had some technical difficulties. We had some new updates on software. Go figure. That's usually what happens right before you go live on anything. So wherever you are on planet Earth, you know, greetings, salutations, and thank you for taking the time to listen in to this broadcast. We're going to cover some topics in regards to trust law, estate planning, and maybe even go a little deeper than I did the last couple of shows as a preview, because this show is going to be shorter, and we're going to start having some other guests on. But I want to just take the time to give all of you some things to think about that could possibly enhance your life, bring less stress into your life, give you some tools and some key knowledge that maybe you haven't had before. Because if you really want my truth, is that we are born into a system, and the system was set up all the way back from Rome, to be candid. And so in order for us to have any type of an advantage, you need to have tools or key knowledge to give you an advantage in a very disadvantaged system. So I'm going to give you a little background of myself, just so that you get a place to see where, how I came upon this information. But I'm just really a man. I've been an entrepreneur since I was in my late teens, and I'm 60 years old this year, but I more or less consider myself a disruptor. I like to get into industries where you have a chance to carve out a little niche for yourself and bring some type of a benefit back to the consumer or business marketplace. So that started with me in the late 80s, and I got into the telecommunications industry, and they had just broke up the telecom industry. In fact, the Judge Green was the one who said that the monopoly was no longer. And so it allowed little businesses to get into the long distance industry to compete. And I started a company with a 91-year-old man back in 1987 called Network Communications. And we created a new payment method called prepaid. And while it seemed very off-putting to the people at the time, logically and financially, it made a tremendous amount of sense. And so that little business took off. And I had no idea what it was going to do, but I really did enjoy the telecom space. It's really what we all do, is we all talk to each other. Now it's, you know, texting and messaging and Zooming and everything else. But at the core of us as a species, we are all about communications. From there, I jumped in and created a new product, a new industry, and a company called World Telecom. And we were the founders of the first United States prepaid phone card. And that was more or less an extension of what I started in Seattle. And give you a little background, I didn't really come from an Ivy League school. I didn't have high finance degrees. I was just an average student. I was an athlete. But I quickly learned how the big corporate industries of telecom had their foot on everybody's wallets and purses. So we were looking to recreate the same idea of a phone call, but eliminating half the fat by getting the prepaid model into existence. And that went on to become about a $750 million business. In fact, I relocated into New York City in 1993 lived on the Upper East Side, 96 and 3rd Avenue. And I used to do school business old school and go down to the Midtown Manhattan, get out my whiteboard and have some meetings, and people would come in from all the boroughs, and we started talking about prepaid phone cards. It was a tough crowd. I was about 29 at the time, 30 years old. And, you know, I came from Seattle. I just decided to get out there and, you know, get right in with it. And once the people of New York started to see that what I was talking about was real, they became very friendly. And we went out and just kicked butt, started to spread the wings of this concept of prepaid calling. But New York was the epicenter for me. That's how I really launched this entire business. So anyway, sold that business close to 2000, and then started another organization called Nourish the Children. We raised money for kids and helped feed children all over the world. And I've been involved in IT security and telemedicine and a bunch of different industries. But generally speaking, I'm in the business of disrupting and as a humanitarian, trying to bring some of these solutions out to the public. So let's carry on. First, I want to make a disclaimer. Everything that I'm going to be saying tonight or today, depending on where you are, is for entertainment purposes only. I am not an attorney. I'm not a tax advisor. I'm not a professional financial advisor. I'm not a CPA or any type of a statutory agent. I disclaim any and all responsibility for liabilities or loss incurred as a consequence of the use and application, either directly or indirectly, of any information presented herein. So here is the big picture. We just had an election, and I think that was very polarizing for some people. I don't spend a whole lot of my attention or time on those particular events, only because I've had so many years now of getting down into the weeds and how the banking system works, which is really where everything is operated from. Now, I could say that it's better that we have a more of a business-friendly environment, but the things still stand. And the reason that I'm on this show and to share some things with all of you is because when you come into this truth, into this knowledge, you're going to start asking yourself, how come I don't know this? How come I was not taught this? How come my friends didn't tell me about this? How come my attorneys don't tell me about this stuff? So we're going to talk a little bit about jurisdiction, all right? And jurisdiction is everything when it comes to banking in terms of the public and also the private jurisdictions. And there's a very big distinction. In the public, right now, about 95% of all Americans are not established as an estate or an estate plan. And yet their name, which is on the driver's license and on their birth certificate, is a trust. So I'm going to go through a couple of things here to unravel this. And then as these shows progress, we're going to get more and more deep, and we're going to start learning how to onboard this information and make it your own so that you can start managing your life correctly when dealing with the public system. 95% of all Americans do not have an estate plan or some type of a separate entity to protect their assets, including sheltering liabilities and or taxes. And so most people, by the time they end up passing away, end up passing on that probate to their family, which is really a crime, to be honest, because all of your life's work, all of your efforts, all of your assets now gets determined by a judge or a court. So what I discovered in my years of plowing through business and over $1 billion worth of transactions, you know, coming and going, lawsuits, attorney fees, CPAs, millions in taxes, is I started to discover that there was something else going on that was behind the scenes. And it's talking about the private, right? So the private world, how does the private world work? Well, so you can cheat a little bit by taking some of my experience and not having to go through what I did to gain a distinct unfair advantage moving forward in your life. So the first thing I want to share with you is that what you're going to hear here shortly, you're not going to hear back from a licensed attorney. You're not going to find out this from a federal or state government. You're not going to get this information from a CPA or an accountant or a licensed financial advisor. You're not going to see that any of the public school courses have this information in it. The higher educational professors are not going to share this with you. Public television, well, public radio now, yes, thank you. But public newspapers, friends or family, and even the search engines these days have been compromised. So It's usually about trying to stop people from finding out the correct information. That's the way the system is set up. So I'm going to play a little audio. This is kind of the mindset of the typical male or female American currently in today's world.
Proof we are all being played.
I get up at 4:45 in the morning and I don't see a sign of the government anywhere. Every single day for 8.5 hours, I exchange my time for labor. I don't see the government anywhere, except for on Thursdays. Thursdays I get my paycheck. That's when the government shows up. That's when they feel they are entitled to split half of the currency I made for trading my time, my skills, my labor. This goes on throughout the year, where I'm responsible to keep records of all of this. At the end of the year, it's my responsibility to prepare all that documentation for them to review it. They then determine if their cut was large enough. If I don't meet their schedule, I face fines, fees, or the threat of being locked up in one of their cells. I guess some people call this taxation, but it doesn't meet my definition. To me, that sounds a lot more like fraud, embezzlement, and fucking slavery. I think it's long past due that we all stop participating in this.
Proof we are.
So that is a theme that is carried out. And all of us are born into this idea that we have to pay taxes for our labor, that, we are being charged a fee for being an American citizen. And unfortunately, that's true. But most people don't realize what that truly means. And I'm going to go through some of that right now. So the question is, how did we end up becoming liable for these, quote, fees and taxes and fines and everything else? Well, the public system is based on commerce. It's also based on fiction and liability. And all of those things come back to roost when you truly comprehend how contract law works, right? So everything is based on contracts and commerce in the public system. In order for a contract to be legal, you have six essential elements: an offer, an acceptance, awareness, consideration, capacity, and legality. All the things that we do in business are based on contracts. Okay. So all of you, whatever part of the world that you came into this world from, most every country, which I call a company, has the same process of registering the newborns into the database. And that registration process, which is the birth of your live natural self, is where the contract begins. And that birth certificate, or that naturalization papers for people that have come to this country, is the beginning of the contract that you're holding with the United States, which is a corporation, and also, or the state by which you were born in. For myself, it was California, but it could be any of the 50 states or any of the provinces, for example, in Canada. So that birth certificate, which is a stock certificate and also a stakeholder certificate, is then bonded, right? So that contract is bonded with a social security agreement, which is an insurance policy. So number one and number two, those are the beginning of the contracts that follow you throughout your life. And then as you go and you become older, you start doing things like, getting a driver's license or a marriage license or a hunting license or fishing license. And then you go out and you get mortgages and auto loans and credit cards. And then you open up bank accounts and utility accounts. So these are called adhesion contracts. So they are baby sisters and baby brothers to the primary contract, which is called the birth certificate and the Social Security agreement. Most people think of that as a very benign document because it just represented you as a baby that was born at a time. But there's a lot to this. And the thing that creates most of the problems for everybody is the name on that contract. Not your name, but the name. So before we go a little deeper into that, I'm going to focus a little more on the United States for now. Not of America, but the United States. We as a nation have been put into what's called a generational curse by the very banking cabal that created this entire operation, right? This is a military operation to come in, to occupy the United States and to covertly take that country back from the Redcoats. And that's exactly what they did. So we don't have the true history in our curriculum because that was omitted for a reason. Because if they don't tell you the way the real history was, you're not going to know what it is. And then if you start rinsing and repeating that year after year, generation after generation, by the time you get to six generations, there's no awareness whatsoever of history. And that's why it's called the generation curse. Anyhow, so there was this act that was created in 1871. It's called the Act of 1871. There was both the 13th and the 14th amendments, which created a what's called an American or a U.S. citizen under the law of bankruptcy and law merchant. So you see that the United States, when it was in a civil war, was still a de jure constitutional republic for the people, by the people. And there was a separation between the South and the North for more reasons than are put in our books, mostly because the South wanted to create its own currency and its own treasury. So there was a mounted effort by both the North and the both French and English to stop that, because if you can control the money supply, and you can control the currency, you can control the people. That's just the way it is. And look at what's going on today. So the Act of 1871 is a very definable and a very important moment in history, because that is where the fraud begins. And I'm going to play a little audio so that you understand how this rolled out.
This was all masterfully planned and executed. During the Civil War, the Constitutional Republic abandoned Congress, which forced President Lincoln to issue martial law. At this time, the Republic was taken over by foreign insurgents who replaced it with the United States of America, Inc., in all caps, in 1871. A corporation that had the same name, the United States, what better way to replace it without anyone noticing that they just got turned into a business and commercialized? Now, this corporation was later purchased by the banking powers behind the Fed in 1912. The Fed was created in 1913. Why did this happen? Well, the US was bankrupt when we sold the United States to foreign banking cartels, if you will. Salvage liens were placed on every asset, check this out, including the people of the new federalized states. Now let's fast forward to 1933. An income tax was placed on the people to pay these foreign bankers who own the IMF, which owns the IRS. Look into what the IRS actually is. Who is the IMF owned by? You got to follow the money. Who funds it? It's the same people that own the United States Inc. Same few families, and they're not American. So when I say foreign insurgents, that's what I mean. So 1933, USA Inc. goes bankrupt. An income tax is placed on its people. In other words, you and I were turned into property. Look it up. We were turned into cattle, and we were collateralized in order to turn us, humans, flesh and blood, into a means of paying off a massive debt. But the problem is that while you are technically a person, you've entered into contracts that you're completely unaware of, such as your birth certificate, social security number, etc., that are all saying, I consent to being collateralized. You're living as property, as opposed to living as a blood and flesh natural being. On paper, you are property. You are a corporation right now. You might be hearing this and thinking, we're fucked. We're property? Are you kidding me? And that's true. And property doesn't have rights. But here is both the blessing and the curse. There are multiple of you. Just like there's multiple United States of Americas. Sleight of hand, remember? What hat do they want to wear? There are multiple of you. The insane irony in all of this is the fact that they are actually now liable for all of your alleged obligations, aka debts. That's what a debt means. You can play a wrong move in chess and still win the game. And commerce is chess. Their greatest attempt to set us back actually is their greatest weakness. How can we owe debt if the United States is liable for all of its property? If we're its property, then it's the United States' burden to pay our debt. And that is exactly what the law says. I'm going to leave you guys with two different codes that I highly recommend you look into. First is going to be the House Joint Resolution Act 192. And when that occurred, the dollar was turned into what is called Federal Reserve debt notes. So if we're being asked to pay debts, but all we are given from the system is debt notes, aka fiat money, to pay back those debts. How can we pay a debt with a debt? I just want you to sit with that. They never gave you lawful money. They never gave you gold. They never gave you silver. The other side of it is looking into 18 USC 8, 18 United States Code 8. You're going to come to find out that that's literally telling you that the United States is liable for all debt, all of your debt. The United States is liable for it. How can you pay a debt with debt notes? Don't let that go over your head. They already got paid. Whoever's coming after you, saying you owe a debt, whatever, they already got paid. Why would you be paying it twice? Common law, a completely different, higher level set of law that comes from God, the creator, is for a natural blood and flesh man. And yet you have been following legal law your entire life.
So think about that. How many people in the United States do you believe know this? Right? So just like Caesar, it was easy for him to conquer people when they were bred in ignorance. So we have been a conquered nation since 1871. Whatever your feelings are, and I know everybody has emotions going, we have to do something profound in order for us to shift this country back to its original constitutional common law jurisdiction. Because right now, and in the foreseeable future, we are a legal system based on corporations. Corporations are dead entities. So if you go and you like doing a little research, I would encourage you, if you go to the congressional record that was placed in there on June 13th, 1967, pages 15,641 and 15,646 through. It says right here, a citizen of the United States is a civilly dead entity operating as a co-trustee and co-beneficiary of the public charitable trust. The Constructive Sister K Trust of the United States, Inc., under the 14th Amendment, which upholds the debt of the United States Incorporated. It's right there. So as much research as people do, when I say the term research too, think about that. You're researching. I would investigate all of this, right? Investigation is when you're actually pulling data down and you can put pieces of the puzzle together. Researching is like going in circles, right? So all of this is stuff that I have found out over many years. And again, I'm just trying to help speed people up so that they can get their minds right and not live in this double-minded reality or duality that we have. So as far as many of us are concerned who are here to not necessarily fight, but to empower people to be able to reorganize how they were established from that contract phase. And there is a way to repurpose all of these, quote, contracts that were set up, and you have the right to go back and correct all of them. But until such a time, we are in an unconventional war, and it's called lawfare, L-A-W-F-A-R-E, and it's against the American people and the de jure United States, and it's been done in secret under this cover of the legal system for over 100 years. Well, so liability, right? We all carry liability if we are classified in this construct as corporations that are acting is the key word, as the trustee. And I'm going to give you an example. So let's say that some of you out there are driving right now, just somehow get in a car accident. Not fun, but it happens. So if you're driving, quote, in one of their cars because you handed the keys over to them, you're using a state-issued all caps name driver's license. You have a social security number that's tied to that contract. You have that driver's license tied to those contracts, and now you have the license plate and the tabs that are tied to those contracts. So regardless, if you come into contact with another car, ultimately one party or two parties are going to be liable for the damages, right? And now you could be brought into court, you could be sued, and that could come after all of your other assets, including the cash in the bank, maybe a house, maybe gold or silver, cryptocurrency. It doesn't matter. So the essence of this entire show is about knowing who you are in the trust law. If you do not comprehend or have a basis by which you can navigate the world. By not knowing trust law, you have been put into a position of weakness and liability. So we aren't trust law taught, or excuse me, we are not educated in trust law, because if you know who you are in this public system, then you can take back control and give yourself immunity. So there are a variety of different species of trust, and we're going to talk mostly about private trust in the short period of time I have left, and I'm going to speed through this. So there's a public trust, and I will promise you that the public trust is the name on your driver's license. It's the name on that birth certificate. It's the name on that mortgage. And if you look at the way it's spelled on all of these documents, the name is always in all capital letters, right? So XYZ, first, middle, last, is always in all capital letters. That is not even English. That's considered sign language. It's American Sign Language. And what it's signaling, or what it's signing, is that it is a dead entity. Just like when the name goes on a tombstone, it's always in all capital letters. So the public trust has a grantor, a trustee, and a beneficiary. So why would you want to have a private trust? What does a private trust do different from the public trust? A private trust has a grantor, a trustee, and a beneficiary. The difference is one of those trusts was an involuntary established trust, and the other one is a voluntary. So the involuntary trust was when you were a baby, you were born, you were not party to that contract because you were not competent. You were not of age. You did not have the faculty. So your mom or father, essentially under attorney of fact, handed the baby over to the state. And I'd get much deeper into it, but at that point, the mother gave the name of the baby to the state, and the state changed the name to a trust name. Phonetically, it sounded the same, first, middle, last, but they changed it from upper lowercase to all uppercase, and that's actually called a legal name change. At that point, the state, which refers to the United States, or let's call it New York, is the property holder of that trust, okay? So you don't know what a trust is, and yet you are a trust, and you have been owned by a corporation that has a contract or a title to that trust. So here's a quick little workaround for you. What I try to do is help people see that, you know what, if they can do that to you, you can do it back, right? We're just going to use their laws, their system, their structures. We're going to recreate the entire apparatus, but you can do it. You can volunteer because you are born of God, right? You're flesh and blood. You're a natural man. You're a natural woman. You're not even a name. You never were a name. You can't be a piece of paper. You can't be a driver's license. So your highest atonement is to know that you are a man or woman. That's it. Everything below that is a construct of the system. But these trusts that were created on, quote, your behalf to so they could do business with you, come with certain rights or privileges, or don't have any rights or privileges. Now, myself, I have operated out of a private trust for many years. I would love to have everybody know how this works, because what they're doing essentially is stealing from the ignorant, right? So what can a private trust do for you? Well, I'm going to play a quick little audio on that.
If it's not in your name, then it can't be taken away. This is the golden rule. A lot of people out there would have heard the phrase, own nothing, control everything, which kind of goes hand in hand with the elitists and the bankers. So how do they actually manage? If it's not in your name, then it can't be taken away. This is the golden rule. A lot of people out there would have heard the phrase, own nothing, control everything, which kind of goes hand in hand with the elitists and the bankers. So how do they actually manage to play that kind of game? If you were to go out, let's say you went out to Vegas or something, and you go to the casino and you run up a whole load of debts with the mafiosa, and then they come after you for debts, they can take anything that's registered in your name, but they can't take your neighbor's property. They can't take somebody else's property for your debts. And if they can, and I've tried this. I've actually done this real time with various banks. And I've said, well, look, if you can take someone else's property for a debt that I owe, I've got a few neighbors I don't like. If you want to pop along, I'll point them out. Go and take some of their property. Or alternatively, why don't you go to Buckingham Palace and take that? That will easily cover my debt. These people then turn around and say, well, we can't do that. That's because they can only take something which is in your name in order to settle a debt which is in your name.
So there you go. It's that simple. Right. We've been trained to think that if I want to conduct business, I have to go to a state organization or the authority, right, to open up, let's say, call it a C corporation or an S corporation or a limited liability company, or for that matter, a 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization. Here is a kind of a rule of law, you guys. If the state issues it, anything, they own it. If the state issues anything, they own it. They own the property rights to it. They own the capital rights to it. They own the title rights to it. So even though maybe you have not had an issue in that situation yet, at some point, if a liable situation occurred, the state could use one of its agencies called attorneys or courts to be able to come back in and to create a claim against those properties. So if your name is not yours, if the car you're driving is not yours, if the bank account that you opened up is not yours, and yet you think it is, and you can prove it that they own it, then do you really have any freedoms? No. Right? So there's been a there's been thousands of years of banking system that has come together to get us to where we are today. The trust is not a silver bullet for everything, but it is a tool to give all of you, if your mind can get wrapped around this, a way to not be a subject to the commercial system, which is called commerce. Subject means slave. And if you are one of their subjects, and I promise you that most of you are, by the virtue of your compliance to a system that has put you in bondage because of a certain name and because of certain intellectual properties like contracts that have been created by the state to put you into their, quote, cage. And so people are always walking around looking over their shoulder left, looking over their shoulder right. Am I going to be in trouble? Do I need to pay more taxes? I mean, we started a revolutionary war way back when over a 2% T-tax. You know, like 80% of most people's income goes to taxes now. 80%. And so what are people doing about it? Trying to vote somebody in to fix it for them. Well, wait a minute. What about you? What if you knew that you were as powerful as a king or a queen, or you had the exact same opportunity to establish your own governing body? Well, that's exactly what you can do. So a private trust, if you want to find out more information, this show, by the way, is brought to you by ingodyoutrust.org. That's ingodyoutrust.org, Y-O-U. The funny thing about that name is if you look at the dollar bill, it says In God We Trust. Have you ever actually thought about what that means and who put that on there and what is that supposed to do? In God We Trust are people who print money. And when the money becomes your God, that's the we. We look at their money as our God. That money is not even money. That money is a trust. It was reorganized. And if you go back to the beginning of the show, we talked about what happened in 1933 under the House Joint Resolution 192. They, and the Congress, ratified this and made it, quote, illegal for any American to use treasury-backed silver and gold currency. They confiscated all of the gold. They confiscated all of the land. They confiscated all the titles. And they handed it over to this company called the United States, which was a foreign insurgent company that used to be called the East India Trading Company. So the East India Trading Company was brought in under the Act of 1871 to essentially steal back the de jure country of the United States of America under the guise of bankruptcy and law of merchant. And that's when the Roman law started to take effect, and it's called the legal system. The legal system means banking. It means commerce. It's the public systems. All crimes are commercial. So if I can impart anything tonight in this short show is, you know, go take a look. Go to ingodyoutrust.org. Read through some of that stuff. If you want to get more information, you can leave your name or give a ring, and I could give you some details on how you can get one of these trusts established for yourself. Or you can go do it yourself. It doesn't matter. But that's what I also do, is I help people establish a non-corporate entity, non-government entity, where they have lawfully can operate in a higher jurisdiction and have the authority to defer taxes. So you don't want to make any money anymore, right? You'd have all the money or currency that you generate in your job or your business or projects or contracts. You direct all of those funds right into that trust bank account. It's called a trust fund. You're going to vanquish any concept of ever making money again, because if you make money, you're liable for it. But you can donate it, you can offer it, you can pledge it, you can give it away. Now, if you're the, quote, trustee of a private trust and you're the grantor, that means you have full control over that apparatus, over that, quote, lawful entity, right? And so as the trustee, you have the right to use the funds in the trust for your daily needs, for your operations, for your efforts, for your lifestyle, because you're now operating as the fiduciary and the controlling party for the private trust. Anyway, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I just wanted to say gratitude and salutation for all of you who at least took the time, whether you're driving in your car or whether you're out on a walk, whether you're home with your husband or wife, having dinner or whatever you're doing. You know, it was a privilege for me to be able to share with you this little snippet of time, because information matters when it's formed correctly. Even hear those words. Information is matters when it's formed correctly. Information is not truly formation. So we talk about forming agreements with yourself and the higher and the almighty so that you can operate in this jurisdiction that is superior over this legal system. Again, very grateful. Thank you so much for coming to the show this evening. Again, my name's Trustee Kevin. I'll be back in 2 weeks for another spirited conversation about trust law, banking, and how to help you become more free in your life. Grace and peace, peace and love. Talk to you all later.